Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
I would like to ask you, you know, just kind of to get our minds going, what is your favorite Thanksgiving tradition? What are some things you're looking forward to this week that you are just like so geeked up about? You know, Lions football? No? No? What are some family traditions you like? I would love to hear some of yours. Who would be so brave to just shout out a family tradition you're looking forward to? Anybody? Seeing family? Absolutely. Sometimes you don't want to see family, but we'll put it on the good side today. Sorry? Hunting with the kids. Awesome.
Watching my husband eat the sausage that he's cooking with stuffing.
Oh, awesome. So it's just a joy to watch him eat the sausage.
Yeah.
That's good. Anybody else? Family traditions. Marian.
Our sword fight.
Sword fight? Do I want to know? No, probably not. Say again. Turkey hands? Making the turkeys with your hand, with your fingers? Yeah. That's about the extent of my artistic ability, Josh. I'll let you know. Anybody else? Yeah. Breaking the wishbone? You have a technique probably to win it every time, don't you? I just know that that would be true. Yeah. Anybody else? One last one.
Leftovers.
I was making the menu this week because I had to go to the grocery store. And I put leftovers for like, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I'm hoping it gets us through. Absolutely. We all have a lot of different traditions that our families uphold. And I, you know, when I think back of my heritage, you know, Thanksgiving Day was always at Grandma Bates' house. And for whatever reason, I just remember that when the meal was over, she had a dishwasher that was never, it wasn't under the sink. It would move around. You ever seen one of those? You'd hook it to the faucet or whatever. That's what I think. Isn't that the weirdest memory? I'm just peeling back some layers so you can understand just how scary it is inside. But, you know, I miss, you know, that relationship, that comfort, that security that I felt when I walked into my grandmother's house. I had the blessing of being raised two blocks away from one grandmother and about four blocks from the other. I could ride my bicycle to either one I needed. I mowed the yard for my one grandmother when my grandfather passed away, and we were tight. She was my spiritual mentor. She was my spiritual grandmother. And she taught me a lot about what it meant to be a prayer warrior and to be a person of great faith, even when her husband didn't acknowledge that. And for a long, long time, my grandfather did not acknowledge Jesus Christ, not until his dying days. And I just watched her steadfastly worship God and be faithful in the midst of that kind of circumstance. Some of you understand what that's like. And so when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of my grandmother and chocolate mousse and that dishwasher. And I get excited. But, you know, part of me just kind of wishes that Thanksgiving wasn't just limited to one time a year. You know what I'm saying? It seems kind of peculiar to me that on the fourth Thursday of November, we set aside a day to be thankful. You know what I mean? In my mind, a thankful heart is very close to the very heart of God. So I wonder, we're going to put this word Thanksgiving, it's already up on the screen. When we think of Thanksgiving, I wonder if we could translate that word, shifting just a simple letter and make it something a little bit hokey for some of us to probably think of it this way. But what if we, instead of Thanksgiving, said it's Thanksgiving? What if we could translate what this day is, this single 24-hour period of time, into a lifestyle of being filled with gratitude? There's three things that kind of come to my mind when I thought of Thanksgiving. First of all, that it's gratitude in action. Not just simply being filled with gratitude, but actually allowing that gratitude to motivate us into action. Secondly, that contentment would fill us with every part of our life. Contentment would overwhelm us. We would feel so much contentment in our lives that we wouldn't need anything else. And the third thing that came to my mind was that we would have the opportunity to be a blessing to others. A blessing to others. Three principles that I think could guide us into this idea of Thanksgiving every day of the year. Well, there's a story that I wanted to kind of share with you. A story from Israel's time. I actually kind of mentioned it briefly last week when I was preaching last Sunday, and I wanted to just kind of highlight it again. It's a time in Israel's life where they found themselves ready to embrace something they had never experienced before, something they had only dreamed of. You know, sometimes we fall into the same trap that the people of Israel did. I read their story in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and I think, why didn't they get it? But then when I look and seriously investigate my own life, I see myself making the same silly mistakes of not trusting God, not believing in Him enough. Sometimes we buy into that same line of thinking, don't we? That line of thinking that says we deserve something. Well, I'm not talking about I deserve a new wave runner, or I deserve a new house, or I deserve a new boat. Those are things. Sometimes we deserve, or we think we deserve other things, like we deserve to be respected at work, or we deserve to be honored or recognized or get that promotion. We deserve security. We deserve a 2,000 to 4,000 square foot home, or we deserve a job with good income and benefits and retirement package and annual raises and end of the year bonuses. Sometimes we get into this idea that we deserve these things, and all that does is it robs us from the ability to have gratitude flood our life. It ruins the holidays when we think that we have to have it a certain way and it just doesn't always work out that way. Instead of just being thankful for what you do have, for what is available to you. I wonder how many times we miss blessings that God wants to give us because we're so ticked that it didn't go the way we wanted it to. And right all along, there was something really amazing just right under our nose, but we failed to see it because we thought we deserved something else. The idea of thanksgiving is an idea that we look for our blessings all the time and we rejoice in them. That our attention and our perspective is not on the temporal, what is here and now and soon to be gone, but that our attention is on the eternal. That's real life, real living. Well, Israel finds themselves in Deuteronomy chapter 8, in a time where they are being told some things. They find themselves post-slavery. They're in a position where they're about to enter into the promised land, and God is using this season of wandering, this season of testing, to kind of give them the law, to kind of lay down the law, so to speak. And so here they are. They've known nothing but being slaves all of their lives. They find themselves waiting, and God is speaking to them through their servant, through His servant, Moses. And He gives them several commands. As a matter of fact, chapter 5, restates the Ten Commandments. They've already heard these commandments before, but to kind of lay down the law, they wanted to go back to the very foundation of who they are as a people, and Moses re-articulates the Ten Commandments to the people. In the very next chapter, chapter 6, the Shema is orated. This is the great passage that every Jewish individual loves and holds close to them. It's this idea that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our mind, soul, body, and strength, and that we are to teach our children as we go from here and there, and to let that be wrapped around on their hearts. And then chapter 7 talks about how we are to show no mercy to these other nations. When you walk into this promised land, there will be people there. There will be other gods who are worshipped there. There will be things there that will be so tempting to you, but you should not give in. You need to obliterate those other nations because they will be traps for you if you allow them to intermingle with you. Don't intermarry with their daughters. Don't get involved in their lifestyle. And then we come to chapter 8. It's really a warning. It's really a warning to what could be if you get your focus off of God. And then after chapter 8, we get into a whole litany of different things that the people of Israel need to be mindful of. But I want to just draw our attention to this special chapter. This warning is simple. I can summarize it in a single sentence. Don't forget that everything that you have comes from the Lord. In other words, it could be said this way. Your life before, when you were in Egypt, you made everything out of your own strength, including the bricks that the Egyptians made you construct. Everything was out of your own strength. But now you need to learn to let go and trust God. How many of us find ourselves to be self-made? Self-learned, educated, great jobs because of all that we've done. But the reality is, everything we have is a blessing from God. I want to pick up this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know that what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And let's pause here just for a moment. This passage of Scripture, Moses is articulating to the entire camp of Israel that there are these moments in our ancestry that are so important to be aware of. One is that there is a covenant made. There was a covenant between God and Abraham a long time ago that said, I will be with you. I will be with you throughout all the generations. Your ancestry will be so large that there are going to be more of them than stars in the sky. I will bless them. You will be multiplied and it will be great. You will be my people. I will be your God. And we've seen through the course of the history, even to this point, amazing things that God has done on behalf of the Israelites. But we also have seen dark times. We've also seen some times where the Israelites really needed their God to come through. Like moments when they were starving in the wilderness and they had no food. An amazing thing happened. God provided food. They called it manna. It was bread of life. It formed on the ground during the night. And the people of Israel would gather it up. They didn't cause that to grow. They didn't do anything to make it grow. But they still embraced it. And it fed them and it nourished them. It gave them what they needed. And so God is reminding the people, you've come through 40 years of wandering and you've never gone without. I've been with you all the way. You don't need anything that I can't provide. Let's move on. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to Him, he says, and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will not lack anything. Now, if it wasn't enough that God has already provided for them in the wilderness, providing manna for them to eat and to have life, now He's saying, the land I'm about to bring you in, if you remember my commands, and if you keep me in the forefront of your worship and in your mind, this land will supply everything you could ever dream of. This isn't just getting by manna. This is abundance. And I'm about to bring it to you. Moving on, when you have eaten and you're satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, His decrees that I am giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of that land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well for you. You may say to yourself, my power, my strength, the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, For it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. It is going to be so tempting for us in a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that is great, a land that is plentiful, a land like Michigan, a land that offers a lot of opportunity, a land that offered a lot more opportunity in the past, right? Still, we have a lot of things available to us, even in the midst of our economic struggles. It is a lot easier for us to sit back and say, look at what I've obtained. Look at my portfolio and how it's grown and multiplied. Look at my house. Look at my cars. Look at my job and my title and my income. Look at all that I've done. Isn't it easy? Isn't it easy in our own strength to say, way to go? Equally, when things aren't going so well, it's kind of easy to say, what have I done? I've ruined everything. I'm a mess. I have no hope. I have no ability to manage my life. And you start beating on yourself instead of patting yourself on the back. Can I tell you this? This is truth. Neither one of those scenarios are because of you. Neither one of those scenarios are because of you. Sometimes God brings us through wilderness moments. God brings us through difficult times because He's there to humble and test you from the Word of God. And He's going to provide for you. He's going to give you the manna you need to survive. And then there are going to be days where He's going to bring you into some great bountiful blessings. None of that is because of you. None of it's because you're holier than the next person. None of it's because you've read more of the Bible than your neighbor. None of it's because you pray more often. None of it's because of anything you've done, righteousness or sin. It is a blessing that comes from God. And this is the idea that I think thanks living helps us understand. Every day is a gift. When you open up your eyes in the morning, what's the first thing you think of? All the stuff you got to get done, right? Usually involves with getting cleaned up, we hope, for most of you. For a lot of you, it's getting your kids cleaned up and getting them out the door, getting their lunches packed, getting them fed breakfast, getting, you know, their homework signed and all that kind of stuff, right? What if in Thanksgiving, we opened up our eyes and said, wow, another day? Because you know what? Not everybody opened their eyes this morning. And every day, there's new life. And then every day, somebody's mourning the loss of a loved one. Every day is a gift. Let me draw a New Testament parallel with this idea of thanksgiving. This comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, Paul says. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into the temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. I believe ultimately what Paul is telling his young apprentice Timothy is that there will be a lot of things in this world to test you, to trip you up. There will be a lot of things that sound right. There will be a lot of things that you'll find worthy of going for. You'll want to build the biggest church with the highest cross, with everything. I mean, it's going to be tempting to want to build a kingdom around you. But those things don't matter. Those things have no value unless you pursue righteousness, unless you pursue godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight, Timothy. Be a person of gratitude and thanks living. I came across a present day living illustration of what I think thanks living could look like. I don't know much about these people at all. I haven't taken the time, I will admit, I haven't taken the time to thoroughly investigate their life. I don't know that they're Christians. As a matter of fact, I have doubts that they are. But there was a family that maybe you've seen in the news recently. A family that was motivated by a 14-year-old daughter who saw someone in need and wanted to respond in a crazy, thankful, gratitude kind of way. Let's let ABC News tell the story for us. The Power of Half, if you're interested, thepowerofhalf.com is their website. As I said, you can investigate more about this. Wow. You know, we talk about selling our houses and giving half of it. It's not going to be $800,000, is it? Well, I don't know of any of you. But the reality is, sacrifice is sacrifice. Thanks living sometimes means hearts filled with gratitude cause us to do things that are kind of crazy. They cause us to do things that say, I don't need any more. I'm content with half of what I have. Being people filled with gratitude will cause us to be people who are reaching out to our world, our neighbors, and our family in different ways. How would God open your eyes if instead of one day a year, we become thankful 365? Instead of if we just set aside one day to meet with our family and gather and eat turkey and whatever else we can put together, if a lifestyle became formed out of that and we were filled with gratitude every day, we told the people we loved that we love them, and we meet the needs of the poor, both down the street or around the world. God, today I pray that thankful hearts will flood us, flood me. Help us to be people filled with so much gratitude that it will cause us to incredible decisions in our life, decisions of righteousness and godliness, faith, hope, and love. Help us today to be filled with your goodness. Help us to count our blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.